Good morning and happy Sabbath, Wantirna Church. It is always great to be with you on the Sabbath, worshipping with you, even though not physically, we are there in spirit all together as a church family. Today is a very special service. As you can see, this service is called Symbols of Sacrifice, and hopefully you've been keeping in touch with us through the newsletter and seeing that today is our special communion service. Of course, the communion service is very hard to do online in terms of you being in your own home. So with communion, you've had to do a bit of your own preparation. So before I start, communion messages are usually quite short. I'll give you the heads up just in case you haven't started to prepare anything. I'm not going to make it a long message. And look, to be honest, with the situation that we're in at the moment, it doesn't have to be unleavened bread and pure grape juice. Try and find something that is best associated with what we do with communion, but God will bless what you have and with what you have, what you've got. But for those who have actually prepared unleavened bread and maybe even baked a few, take some pictures so that we can share it across the Wantirna family. It'd be great to see how you are worshiping with us during this communion service. But before we start, I just want to start with a word of prayer. So I invite you to bow your heads. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much that we can come together. And even though we are far apart physically, we can still come close together as a church family and to do this most holy of traditions that we do in our church. We pray that you will bless us, be with every family. Here today is our prayer in your name. Amen. Symbols of sacrifice. Talking about symbols, do you remember what these are? I mean, we probably haven't seen many of these signs on the road because we probably haven't been on the road for very long in the last couple of weeks. But these signs, the signs that we see on the road, they are all meant to do something for us. They're meant to keep us on the right course, on the right track. And when we go off course, we are quickly reminded that we are not going the right way. Now, when we see these signs, obviously we should react. They represent something. You can see one sign there, even on the screen, can mean quite a lot of things. So, for example, there we have a picture of it looks like a fire engine. Maybe the old school way of doing things in the UK. I'm not sure, we don't have that one here in Australia. But that obviously means that there is a firefighter station somewhere nearby. Something so simple like a picture of a car with fire on top does hold quite a lot of meaning behind it. The same can be said about many other things. Now, you've probably seen this picture before. In fact, if you just see over here to the right of me, you will see that it is in fact on my wall. And for those who have been watching a lot of my sermons, I haven't really moved. And so you may be asking, what does it mean? Why do I have a uniform and a trumpet on my wall? Now, many of you have asked, so I have told you, but my father, when I was 17, passed away of a stroke. And so when I went over to New Zealand and to grab some stuff, I chose to bring over the trumpet and his St. John's Ambulance uniform as a way to help me remember, to be a symbolic representation of who my dad was. He was very musical and he was very caring and loving to people. And so that area for me has a very special place in this room, but also in my heart. Now for you, seeing that on my wall, you just see a trumpet and a uniform. You probably thought there was a meaning behind it, but it didn't mean much to you because you didn't hold that meaning to those items, those things on the wall. But for me, when I see them, I stop and I think of all the amazing things that my dad and myself shared, the amazing times and moments that we had. But there is another moment in the year that also means quite a lot to me and maybe even to some of you. Now, this is a picture of the Golf Center in Morisset, New South Wales. So maybe some of you who went to Avondale would recognise this place right at the front of the golf centre and the restaurant there. But this was a specific important day for me because it was the first time I had ever gone to a dawn service on Anzac Day. It was specifically important for me because I was not known to get up before the crack of dawn. Unfortunately, I was a teenager for a very long time. And as most teenagers and parents of teenagers know, we don't tend to wake up before the crack of dawn. And so I had reached a certain age where I thought maybe I could go to one of these things. And lo and behold, I did. And for those who have been to a dawn service, you will recognize some of the things that I'm going to talk about. The sense of reverence, the sense of awe, the sense of silence. It's something that we don't really feel in this day and age on the regular. To stop and to think about why certain things are so important to us. And I found myself trying to remember, and yet I had never been there. I mean, I'd never fought in the war. I wasn't there in the trenches, I wasn't there in the plains, and I wasn't there dying for my country. And yet, I found myself remembering what that had meant for me. It's a really weird feeling to remember something that you weren't even there in the first place, but yet it has such a big impact on your life and on who you are. As I paused at that moment, I actually thought of a photo that didn't mean much to me at the time when I saw it. But at that point there, at the dawn service, it made so much sense. And it was this photo here. I want to give you time to pause and reflect on what this means to you. When I see this photo, it reminds me of the sacrifice that the Anzacs had done for us so that we could live the life that we live now. It's quite a sobering thought that all the amazing things that we have really can come back down to these soldiers who fought for us. And these moments of silence, these moments of reflection, of solitude, they don't come very often for us in this day and age with so many things bombarding for our attention. I mean, really, when was the last time you just sat and you just thought? Doesn't happen very often nowadays. Now, this story and these pictures and these events have a very big amount of symbolism for me, a great sense of symbolism. And in the Christian church, symbols are everywhere. When you read the Bible, symbols are from the very beginning to the very end. But what we like to use symbols for in the church are things like very important traditions. There are certain things in our church that we immediately know the symbolism is about, right? So the rainbow. The rainbow is a symbol for protection or a promise from God to say that he would never do something like that ever again. Baptism is a symbol of transformation. The fact that you are dying to your old self and you're being raised to new. The Sabbath, something very important to us as Seventh-day Adventists, it is a symbol of rest and a symbol of holiness. It's like a stamp of God's signature placed upon his creation to say that that is his holy day. These ideas of symbols are very important, but there is a symbol that we are told to practice on the regular. And it is the symbol of bread and of grape juice. In other words, communion. Now, communion is very special in the Christian church and very special in the Adventist church. And it symbolizes something so important to us. See, Paul, as he is writing letters to different churches, he chooses the church in Corinth to have a specific message about communion. And he gave them this advice. Read with me in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 18 and 20. Again, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to use them, but if not, I have them here on screen. And he says, first, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. Verse 20, for when you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is another word for communion. And you can see here a representation of what communion means. It means a sense of unity within the church body. And you can see what happens when communion is not taken seriously in a church. There becomes disunity. In fact, when you think about communion, communion is the glue that unites everyone together under one banner. And if we lose this identity in communion, we start to lose our way. And so you hear this phrase every time you hear communion, do this in remembrance of me. It is so important that we remember what is important. We remember the sacrifice of Christ because of the pain and the suffering, but also the joy of knowing that he died for us, but he rose again so that we could have eternal life. I mean, that's the whole crux of Christianity in a nutshell, right? And if we lose that as our base, as a Christian church, as Adventists, we start to lose the meaning of why we do church in the first place. Church just becomes about programs and maintaining things that have already been in place for years and years and years. But if we don't remember communion, we don't remember the meaning behind it all, then we start to lose our way and our purpose. So, what does it all mean? Well, bread simply is the body of Christ, and it was broken for us on the cross. And what does the grape juice represent? Well, that's easy. That's the blood of Christ, because he bled for us on that cross. He went through all of that pain and suffering so that we may have eternal life. There is truly power in the blood and the body. And so here's the question, and does that mean that the blood and the grape juice have some type of special powers? Is there really power when you ingest bread and blood? Well, when we think about those other symbols and we think about rainbows, the rainbow doesn't stop the rain. It doesn't stop bad things from happening, even though God promised that he would never allow something like that to happen again. Baptism doesn't make you without sin. It doesn't make you suddenly perfect when you go under the water. But what it does is it represents you giving your life to him. And the same thing can be said about the Sabbath. Here's something that maybe some of you won't like, but keeping the Sabbath doesn't make you holy. The Sabbath is the holy one, not us. And so when we keep the Sabbath, what we are doing is we are seeing the representation of what it means, thus why we follow it. These things that we look at are symbols. They mean something. And so when we come to communion, the same thing can be said. There is no power in the bread or in the grape juice as itself, right? When you eat it, it doesn't transform you. But what it does, what it represents, is what's important. See, there is no value in things themselves. You see that trumpet and you see the uniform, and it means nothing to you because it has no meaning, right? But we place value on things that matter to us. I place so much value on that because it means so much to me knowing that I have a representation of who my Father is there on the wall whenever I want to see it. The same thing can be said about communion. In fact, the way that we view communion is a good gauge as to how much we place importance on Christ's sacrifice. So if we just get excited about communion, if we look forward to practicing this tradition in our church, then we place Christ's sacrifice as a very important thing to us. But if we lose this meaning of Christ and what he did for us, we're not going to worry about communion. Communion is just going to be another thing that we do once a quarter as an Adventist church. In fact, maybe, just maybe, sometimes we don't go to church because communion's odd because of the foot washing or sometimes the very scary parts of the tradition. But we need to go back to the meaning and the purpose. We value communion because we value Christ's sacrifice for us. That's the most important thing about this. So I want to remind you of Christ's sacrifice by a verse that everyone knows. In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's what communion is all about. Stopping, remembering, even though you weren't there at the cross, it still holds an importance to you because of what he did for us. And I want to just leave this picture with you. When I see this picture, I see more than people. I see more than soldiers holding up men. I see Jesus. I see Jesus there holding us up, because the world that we live in, even though it can be scary, dull, there are so many things that are bringing us down in this world. There is so much to be blessed about. And everything that we have in this world, including the breath in our lungs, comes from the fact that Christ died for us. The fact that we can wake up every single morning and know that we get to serve Christ, and that there is something beyond the grave, that maybe, just maybe, one day we can spend eternity with Christ, is only possible because Christ died for us. He went through that pain and that suffering for us. If he didn't die and if he didn't rise, we wouldn't have hope. But because of what he did, we remember him. I invite you now, as we conclude the first part of our communion service, to take the next 10 minutes to either sit and contemplate what Christ has done for us, maybe to get ready the bread and the grape juice. I know that some people might be even doing some foot washing, because that's what we used to do in church. But whatever you do, we will be coming back in 10 minutes and we will be doing the communion service live. So again, you have the option to join us via Zoom, which will be on the screen after this, or you can just sit back and wait the 10 minutes and I'll be back on screen here with you. But either way, let's enjoy this time together, because it is a very holy, reverent time. Some of those times we don't really get much of in this day and age. Let's spend time together remembering Christ's sacrifice for us. Anyway, let's close with prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you again for the love that you bring. We want to thank you for the many blessings that we have around where we are. And we know it's only possible because you went through the pain and suffering for us to be here. And so as we move into the next stage of our communion service, I pray that you will be here with us. And I also pray that we will be able to be transformed by this moment in time where we get to stop and reflect as to what you've done for us. So we just want to pray these things in your precious name. Amen. We'll see you soon.